This morning in the first part of the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, we were looking at verse 21, you remember, and looking at Jesus inviting, commanding, entreating the rich young ruler to come, take up the cross and follow him, to follow Jesus. We were making the point that Jesus often referred to this great theme of following him. It is one of the fundamental themes of the Bible. And you wouldn't be very long in the company of Jesus listening to him than you would find that he didn't have a wide number of topics upon which he would be preaching, but rather he would be rather circumscribed, and he would be speaking about the kingdom of God and not moving very far away from inviting us to come into it and describing to us what it was like and giving to us encouragements to do so, and indeed warnings if we do not come into the kingdom. So our Lord Jesus Christ, when he tells the rich young ruler to come and follow him, is not giving a special word to the rich young ruler, despite the fact of the uniqueness of the event. He is simply saying to him what he said to multitudes of others, and which he was going to continue to say, and continues to say indeed down to this very generation, because Christianity is essentially beginning and continuing. Really, it is nothing more than following after Jesus. And the Christian faith centers really on a few fundamental doctrines. And all the variety of Christian experience that we care to write about or think about can all be based upon a very few doctrinal statements, and following Christ is one of the most fundamental of all. So we're looking this morning at following Jesus, but we're looking at it in the context of a man who was invited to follow Christ and did not do so. We're coming back to this theme of following Jesus again this evening at the closing of Mark chapter 10, and we're going to look this evening at a man who followed Jesus but was not specifically invited to do so by Jesus as such. We are thinking, of course, of the blind man, blind Bartimaeus, and we're going to be thinking of the last verse in particular. Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, "Come, follow after me." He refused to do so. Jesus said to this man, "Go your way." And the man followed after Jesus in his way, in the way of Jesus. And so there is a direct contrast here, of course. In order to remind ourselves of the background of this verse 52, which is our text, if you like, we're going to read again from verse 46. "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calls thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What will you that I should do unto you?' The blind man said, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Now this incident, like the incident of the rich young ruler, is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's recorded at the end of Matthew chapter 20 and in Luke chapter 18 that we were reading. And once again, the three Gospels, they all record the event, but they record it fairly differently. And in Matthew's Gospel, for example, we're told that there were two blind men sitting by the road side, and it's evident it's the same occasion. But here and in Mark's Gospel and in Luke's Gospel, we're only told of one. And this, of course, is one of those places that the critics of the Gospels love to latch on to and say, here we have contradictions. No, we don't have contradictions. Matthew tells us that there were two, we believe there were two, but the other two Gospels simply are interested in recording the sight of the one, and it is Mark alone who tells us that his name was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. So each of the Gospels fills in a little bit of the picture. Just as we're saying the rich young ruler, there is no single gospel tells us that he was rich, that he was young, and that he was a ruler. We've got to take the three, because the three of them fill in the bits that the other gospels do not mention, and they have their own reasons why they mention and do not mention certain things. But the point is, here we are interested in one of these blind men. We're told in Matthew that they both received their sight, they both followed Jesus, but here the interest is on blind Bartimaeus. And this is the way that we're going to look at it this evening. And as we come then to look at this verse, he followed Jesus in the way. There are a number of emphases and observations that I want us to make in the light of this statement that he followed after Jesus in the way that the rich young ruler refused to follow after Jesus. It was a choice that the rich young ruler made. And following after Jesus is a choice that Bartimaeus made. He decided to follow after Jesus. And those who do not follow Christ, of course, they do so by choice. It's not just a happenstance. It is a choice. We all have a choice whether to follow him or to not to follow him. And the Bible, as we know from many different places, emphasizes human responsibility. We must make up our mind. As Elijah told the people of Israel in his day, if God is God, then follow him. And if Baal is God, then follow him. But make up your mind. And he uses a very rich illustration. Elijah on Mount Carmel, when he says, why are you halting between two opinions? He means you've got a foot in either ditch. You're walking along the road, and one minute you're walking on this side of the road with your foot in this scupper, and the next time you're walking in another ditch, and you can't make up your mind which way to go. And he says, well, make up your mind on the matter. Be firm, and once you've made up your mind, do it. And the rich young ruler made up his mind, and he didn't follow after Jesus. He was a man who loved his money, and he wasn't by any means going to share it with the poor. And here is a man who is making up his mind, and he says, yes, I am going to follow after Jesus. And the whole context, of course, tells us why and how it was that he made up his mind to follow after Jesus of Nazareth. Well, I want us to think then, first of all, look at the whole context of when it was that this man followed after Jesus. What is the background? And the background, of course, is very specific. It is an historical event that, as far as we know, never recurred again. But nonetheless, there are principles in this narrative, as in all these gospel accounts, there are principles that we can apply. You see, these are not simply narratives of what happened then. These narratives in the gospels are narratives of what Jesus does. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he still does the same kinds of things today, as he was doing as he was passing by Jericho 20 centuries ago. And there are still people today who are receiving the blessings that Christ gave to blind Bartimaeus on that occasion. And there are similarities in every Christian conversion, without exception. Without any exception, if we experience Christian conversion, then we are not only going to follow after Jesus in the way, but we are going to have essentially the same kind of background to our conversion experience that blind Bartimaeus is indeed having in the narrative before us. And what then can we say concerning the time in which he began to follow after Jesus? Well, Luke, in his account that we were reading in Luke chapter 18, has an interesting comment. Jesus and his disciples, they are passing on the way to Jerusalem. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming near the end of his public ministry. He is moving towards Jerusalem. And in a very short time, in a few days from this, he is going to enter into Jerusalem for the first, indeed for the last week of his earthly ministry before he is crucified. So the events that he's speaking about that are awaiting him in Jerusalem are only a few days away. So these are among the closing events, if you like, of our Lord's earthly ministry. And he's passing through Jericho, and he's evidently coming down from the east and coming into Jerusalem from the northeast direction. And he is passing near Jericho. And this is where this event took place. But it is Luke who tells us something that is very important concerning this event. And that is that when the blind Bartimaeus was listening to the crowds passing by, he recognized that there was something unusual. There was a kind of a stir among the people. And he could sense the excitement and he could feel the hum in the air, so to speak. And he was asking them, well, what is all this about? And it is Luke's gospel that records for us that they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And that is the clue and the key to understanding every true Christian conversion. Because it is always the same. It is when Jesus of Nazareth is passing by that we get converted. There are places where Jesus is passing by. There are other places in this world where Jesus of Nazareth is not passing by. Now, I do not maintain for one moment that people can't be converted under the most strange circumstances. And possibly there are many, very many strange conversion stories to be told. But you will find that in the main, people are converted where the preaching of the gospel is to be heard. They are converted where Jesus of Nazareth in his word is passing by. Most people are converted in Christian contact or in Christian congregations. Most people are not converted out in the wilds and out in the ungodly places of this world. And somebody who habituates the company of sinners, the Bible makes it very clear, it's highly unlikely that they will ever change their ways, because there is a very great pressure put on sinners, as the book of Proverbs reminds us, the temptation when sinners entice you. And they say, well, come with us. Don't go with them. The people of God, they go with the godly. And most people are converted through godly contact, one way or the other. Maybe Christian friends, maybe a Christian at work, maybe someone inviting them to church, maybe just over a longish period of time sitting under the ministry of the word. Whatever the exact circumstances may be, it is always fundamentally the same issue. And that is that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And there is no greater opportunity, there is no better time to make up our mind one way or the other than when we are under the influence and when indeed the company is congenial. And we might even say, humanly speaking, the atmosphere is congenial. We are not saying that people are converted by being brainwashed. Blind Bartimaeus did not receive his sight and follow after Jesus by some kind of brainwashing process. He experienced a momentous event that day. And that is the fundamental reality. But it was something that took place in the context of Jesus drawing near to Jericho and Jesus being in the vicinity, and he was indeed passing by. So that's the first thing. That's the first immediate context of when it was that blind Bartimaeus made up his mind there and then to follow after Jesus. But also there's something else that we need to emphasize concerning the timing of this conversion experience, because that's what it is. And it is that it is evident that blind Bartimaeus, although he had never been in the vicinity, it seems, before, of where Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, nonetheless, he had heard of Jesus of Nazareth. And the moment that he was told it is Jesus of Nazareth, he was up and he was asking and he was determined and he would not be silenced in the face of all the objections. Many were told, many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more. In other words, here is a man who is determined to receive a blessing from Jesus of Nazareth, because he had evidently heard about Jesus of Nazareth. You do not call upon the name of the Lord in total ignorance. He calls him Jesus, the Son of David. Now, we do not know exactly how much blind Bartimaeus knew We don't know exactly what he had heard, but he had heard sufficiently to know that Jesus was a healer of the blind, and that Jesus was one who was able to do things that nobody else could do. He probably had heard of multitudes of blind people like himself, and their eyes had been opened, and their lives had been changed for the better. And he was not going to allow this opportunity to slip him by. He was going to get in and have his share of the blessing also. And so when you and I are converted, it is in the presence of Jesus Christ, but it is always in the presence of enough knowledge to call upon the name of the Lord. And this raises a fundamental question. And the question is, how much knowledge do we need to be converted? And I want to raise this question and seek to answer it. I've raised this issue before. But I think there's a tremendous danger in our circles particular, where we are very intellectual and cerebral in our approach to spiritual realities, and quite rightly so. But nonetheless, there is a danger that we will not accept as a genuine conversion, any conversion, which seems to be lacking in the kind of information that we regard as fundamentally essential to a genuine Christian experience. Blind Bartimaeus, for all we know, he may have had very strange ideas about God. He may have had very strange ideas even about Jesus of Nazareth. Did he know about the virgin birth? I don't know if he did. Maybe he did. Did he know that Jesus was the second person of the Trinity? Maybe he did. Maybe he did not. The point is, we're not told that he was a great theological, educated person. All we know is that he was a man in need. He knew enough about Jesus to call upon his name. And Jesus recognized that this man had enough faith. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. What faith is Jesus speaking about when he says to Bartimaeus, your faith has made you whole? It was the faith that was sufficient enough for him to come to Christ. And that is all that we need to be Christians. We do not need to know every single dot and iota and every doctrine in its proper place. We need to know that Jesus Christ is able to do for us the very thing that we need most of all that he do for us. And that, of course, for you and for me, in the light of the fuller light of the gospel, is salvation. And that is all that we need. No doubt there would be a great learning curve for blind Bartimaeus, because he follows Jesus in the way. And you cannot follow Jesus for any length of time and remain in ignorance. There is a growth, a progress. And to follow Jesus inevitably means that we learn more and more concerning him, and we come to know him better. But the beginning must be made. And blind Bartimaeus may have had little faith. He may have had much, much in his faith that was misguided and needed correction. But his conversion was a genuine conversion, and it was a conversion that Jesus recognized and honored and blessed and accepted him as one of his blessed disciples. There is no question, the whole context of the narrative seems to speak of these things very loud and very clear. Now, there is no question that when we are reading in the gospel narratives of these kinds of events, the lame walking, the dead rising, the blind receiving their sight, the deaf having their ears opened, that we are evidently meant to regard these things as historical, physical, personal realities. Without demur, we accept the narrative as it stands. But we have to recognize that in these physical miracles, our Lord Jesus Christ is not just doing something physically to the individual. These things are written for spiritual reasons. And when blind Bartimaeus receives his sight to his physical eyes, he is also receiving another kind of sight, as we're going to see later on in the sermon. He begins to see things that he's never seen before. And if you and I are ever going to follow after Jesus Christ, we must have our eyes open to reality. And we must see God in a new way. We must see Christ. We must see ourselves also in new light. So blind Bartimaeus, he was receiving the blessing of conversion and sight being restored to him when Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he was receiving it because he had enough knowledge of Jesus to come to Jesus. But there's something else we can say about when it was that he rose up and followed Jesus in the way. And that is when he came to Jesus and asked Jesus to do something for him. The Lord asked that blind Bartimaeus come. There were the multitudes, no doubt many of the disciples were charging blind Bartimaeus to be quiet and to shut up. But he cried the more a great deal, David, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And we're told in verse 49, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Jesus evidently heard the cries, the insistent, the cry that was refusing to be silenced by objectors to his cries. Jesus heard him, and he stood still, and he commanded him to be called to him. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise up, he calls you. He came to Jesus, casting aside his garment, and Jesus said to him, what is it that you want me to do for you? What do you want? And blind Bartimaeus knows very well what it is that he wants. Lord, he says, that I might receive my sight. Now, if you and I are going to follow after Jesus, there is one thing we must be clear about. What is it that we want from Christ? Do we want him simply to have a place in our life? Do we want him to be some kind of guide at some times, but not at other times? Do we want him to give us advice when we're in hard times and in good times we can do without his advice? Or do we want him to be the one who alone can give us light in every circumstance of our lives? Because following after Jesus is no half-hearted issue. It is all or nothing as far as Jesus is concerned. And blind Bartimaeus is asking something that it's a big issue that he's asking. It's a big ask, as people would say. But what is it that you and I want? We want something big from Christ. We want him to take our life. We want him to take us out of our darkness. We want him to give us an understanding. We want him to be our light giver. We want him to be the one who alone in all our circumstances gives us an understanding of reality. That is what we want. We want from Christ that our sins be forgiven. We want to have a place in heaven. We want to be taken out of death and brought into life. We want to be taken out of spiritual darkness in which we find ourselves wandering and begging. And we want to have light that we will find our way in life and go into the glory. This is what blind Bartimaeus is asking. And this is the immediate time context in which we find him making up his mind to follow after our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm emphasizing all of these things because blind Bartimaeus is in deadly earnest, because he knows something. If Jesus will not heal him, he will never be healed. It's Jesus or nothing, as well as being now or never. It must be now. And he is not going to allow this moment to pass. He is a desperate man, you see. He is a man totally in the dark. And he is a man totally dependent upon whether Jesus will or will not have him and bless him. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Can you imagine the pathos, the appeal? He is so, so earnest about it. Are we earnest about Christ in the same way? Are we earnest that we want him? Lord, I want you to be my Savior, my Lord, my friend, my elder brother. I want you to be my prophet to teach me, to be my priest to make an atonement for me, and to make intercession for me. I want you to be my king, to reign over me. Are we in that kind of desperate sincerity, where if Christ will not do it for us, it will never be done? Because blind Bartimaeus cannot give himself light. He cannot cure himself of this terrible malady. And you and I must face the issue before we will ever follow after Jesus Christ. We will have to come to that place where we recognize how weak and totally insufficient we are, and how He alone can help us. And if He does not, we must go through our life in darkness and ultimately in despair. You see, there's no halfway, there's no lukewarmness about this whole narrative. This man is blood earnest, and Jesus is blood earnest too. And that is why Christianity is such an offensive thing to the natural man. Because everybody wants a little bit of religion, a little bit of Christianity. We have had a jamboree in the last few days and weeks of how Christian a country we are. And we have been trying to remind ourselves and boost ourselves up once again as being this Christian country, because we take Jesus out every December. We brush him down. We put him in his little manger once again, and we're a Christian country. But we're not in sincerity, you see, because it's all over and done with, and we wrap him up again and put him back in his place where he's silent for another year. But here is a man whose life, his whole future depends upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he comes to Jesus most respectfully. He comes to Jesus. There's no demanding here. There is a request, and he is willing to abide by Jesus' decision in the matter. Lord, that I might receive my sight. So that's the first thing I want to emphasize concerning blind Bartimaeus. The timing of this day in which he began to follow after Jesus, it was a decisive moment. It was one of those crisis times. It was a crossroads in his life. Is he going to go one way, or is he not going to go there, or is he not going to go that way? You and I, we all make up our minds on issues. And every day that we rise, really, we make up our minds. Are we going to follow? Are we going to continue following Jesus? There are in the churches, as we all know, many people, they decided to follow Jesus, and then they wake up one day and they decide to follow him no more. But blind Bartimaeus had such a depth of experience that he could never forget. Supposing, for example, that he was tempted not to follow Jesus, how could he not continue to follow Jesus? It would be psychologically an impossibility for blind Bartimaeus ever to forget his indebtedness to Jesus. How could he ever, ever forget this incalculable thing that Jesus of Nazareth had done for him? How could he ever forget or ignore the magnitude of the change that had come into him that day when Jesus said, "Receive your sight," and he blessed him with a new vision of things? And so that's the first thing that we emphasize this evening. Following after Jesus is the consequence of an experience of Jesus when he is passing by. It is the consequence of knowing enough about him to believe in him. It is the consequence of knowing enough and believing enough to call upon him and not allow the multitude to silence us. You see, there are far too many people, and they are easily silenced. And when they begin to call upon the name of the Lord, maybe their nearest and their dearest, they will say to them, "Oh, it's just a religious phase that you're going through." We all go through these growing periods, you see, those growing times when we go through our, whatever it be, the teenage years, the young man, woman years, and we go through different phases, and it seems to be acceptable to people that we have a kind of religious phase, or it may be that we begin to hug the trees or whatever, but they'll soon grow out of it, you see. And the terrible danger is that we will allow people, perhaps our parents, perhaps our husbands or wives, say, "Well, that, don't be too serious, don't be too fanatical about this." And they silence us, and we stop calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. Blind Bartimaeus will not have anybody stand between him and Jesus. And he will cry, the more they cry to him to shut up, the more he cries, "Jesus, have mercy upon me." Because he knows the issues, you see. And fundamentally, he is a man who has the root of the matter in him, the root of his own condition, and the root of the blessings that can come only from Christ. So that's the first thing. The general background is the timing. But what is it in his experience particularly that has so compelled him to follow after Jesus? Well, it is the miracle of healing. A miracle has taken place. There is no other way. We cannot explain this. There are those books that are written, and I'm sure you've all read accounts in books and in articles of how the miracles of the Bible can all be explained away. And that even in those days when people were not really blind, they were just, something was wrong with their eyes and they needed a bit of dust or something rubbed away. All kinds of terribly foolish arguments, really. Everything's explained away from the plagues in Egypt to Jesus walking on the waves and the multiplying of the loaves and the fishes. But if we are fair to the Scriptures and if we are willing to be led by what the text actually says, then we have to face the reality that here is a man who's a beggar, he's blind, he can't see. Jesus heals him, and we don't know how he heals him. We just know that he does it. And the Lord said to him, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." Immediately he received his sight. We're not even told here that he touched him or any such thing. It happened, and it's a miraculous happening, and that's about all that we can say about it. So you say, well, what's the relevance for us? Well, the relevance for us is this. Before we will ever follow after Jesus, we too must have a miracle take place in our lives. Do we know, do we understand that the new birth, the illumination that comes to our inner man when we begin to see the gospel, that that is a miracle of grace, not something that comes from nature? As we saw last Sunday evening when Peter made the confession that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Was it natural reason or understanding? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. My Father in heaven, nobody understands who Christ is. Nobody will follow Jesus without having their eyes opened. And it is a miracle of grace. And Jesus can do it and give it or withhold it as he so pleases. If we ask, we will receive. But always it is a miracle of grace. And when this miracle happens, nothing can ever be the same again, because our eyes are opened and all things become new and old things pass away. That is why Christian people follow after Jesus. Our vision may not be 20/20 vision. We may be rather myopic or short-sighted at times, but we see something, and what we see is reality. When blind Bartimaeus opened, I can't imagine what it must be like to be blind. It's one of the most horrific possibilities. And I know that people who are in accidents and people who have facial damage and men in war, for example, when they wake up in hospital and find that their face, one of the first things they ask is, have they got their eyes? Are they going to see again? We can almost do without anything, but to be blind is a terribly, terribly, terribly discouraging. It's a terrible thing to be blind. And blind Bartimaeus, what did he see? Well, he saw Jesus. It is likely that the very first thing that he saw was Jesus. He was speaking to Jesus, you see. And Jesus was speaking to him. And so to speak, they were eyeball to eyeball. And when blind Bartimaeus opened his eyes, in all likelihood, he saw Jesus before he saw anything else. And that is what you and I see when the miracle of illumination comes to us. We see other things, as we're going to see in a moment, but we see Jesus. We see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we see a reconciled God in Jesus Christ. We see Jesus smiling at us and not scowling at us. We see that Jesus is the friend in need. And we see a face. I have no particular view as to what Jesus looks like. He probably looked very ordinary. He probably looked Jewish. He probably had a face in which his skin was probably fairly darkish colored. He wasn't a white blonde, blue-eyed, that's for sure. He probably was stockily built. We don't know. Dark-eyed, dark-haired, possibly with a beard, possibly a man who wouldn't stand out in the crowd of his day. But when blind Bartimaeus saw this face, he saw something that was beautiful to behold. And he was a man of sorrows who probably looked older than his years. But he was beautiful to behold. There is no comeliness that we should desire him. His visage is so marred, more than any man, but when the eyes of believers are open to see Jesus, we see him as beautiful. And we see his face with its scars and with its lines and with its sorrows. And we see him as most beautiful. And blind Bartimaeus probably looked and looked and looked and looked with admiration and with deep affection. But then he would see other things. He would see the disciples. He would see the crowds. He would see things that were eminently beautiful. But he would also see things that were eminently not beautiful. You see, blind Bartimaeus was one of a whole multitude of riffraff. Two blind men. In those days it was common to see blind and lame people. And blind Bartimaeus probably would see for the first time what the world really looked like in its terrible tragedy of sorrow and pain. And he would see the sorrow and the futility of life without following Jesus. And he would see the disciples. He would see the world. Have you ever noticed how the Apostle Paul, as well as the Gospels, they speak of Christian conversion, the illumination of the mind, the understanding that comes through faith in Christ, and Christ touching our lives and opening our eyes to see things as they really are. Have you ever noticed how the Bible speaks of this in terms of a restored sanity, a restored reality? The Bible speaks of sin as foolishness. The man who is an atheist is a fool according to the Bible. But God has given to his people not a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of courage and of a sound mind. The world regards you and me who believe in Christ tonight. It regards us as fanatical, foolish people who belong to a past age of religious folly. But when we come to the Scriptures, we find it's not like that at all. When we come and our eyes are opened, when we come to Christ, we are restored to a sound mind. We see things as they really are. You remember the man who was in the tombs. Nobody could tame him, chained. They had to chain him down. And Jesus released him and clothed him. And one of the things that are said concerning that man was when the crowds came and they saw him now restored, his true manhood restored by the touch of Jesus. He was in his right mind. Before that, he was not in his right mind. He was a danger to everybody and to himself. But he wasn't in his right mind, you see. And here is a man who is this blind Bartimaeus. He's no longer blind. He sees himself. He sees others. He sees beauty. He sees ugliness. He sees things as they are. And no matter where he goes, from now on, he is always going to see things as they really are. Because he has not become so habituated to reality as to grow, as it were, accustomed and unfeeling towards reality. And so when blind Bartimaeus follows after Jesus, it is because a miracle of grace, and there's no other way to describe it, a miracle of grace has taken place in his heart and in his life, and he sees now that the only way that is making any sense of reality is to follow after and be in the company of this man who has so, so blessed him and so transformed his life. And that's the way it always is. I'm not saying that you and I as Christian people must be able to give a date and a place and a time when we were converted. But I would be surprised if any Christian could not give some kind of time reference. I think that if you were to ask people, when did they become Christians? They could give a kind of time frame. It was round about then, because there's something happens then. I could not give you a date and a time. when I actually passed from death unto life and my eyes were open? Because I'm not sure, but I do know it was in the summer round about 1966. That's what, 44 years ago now, or something like that. And it was in that summer, I know, that my life was transformed from darkness to light and from death to life. I was coming on for 24 years of age, so you can do the calculations now. But you see, the point is, there is the time frame always, and something happens. And there is that definitiveness, there is the radical breach between what we were and what we now are in Christ. And it is a radical breach, in which the old things have passed away and the new things have come into our life. And the new things continually expel the old things. And blind Bartimaeus will never ever be the same again, because a miracle has come into his life, the miracle of receiving his sight. And that is why people follow after Jesus Christ. Because, as the psalmist says, I have a desire, he says, to come into the temple of God and behold his beauty. Because once you've seen him, he spoils your vision for other things, you see. Everything else is tawdry and indeed unattractive by comparison. People speak of falling in love at first sight. I don't think that's really a biblical way to look at it. There may well be a chemical explosion takes place, but that's not really love. But there can be the beginning of something very good. But the point is, once you see the face of your beloved, every other face pales, and we're drawn to him because to us he is most attractive and most appealing. And he wins over every other thing that clamors for our attention. That's why blind Bartimaeus follows him, because he sees him. There's something else that we can emphasize in regards to this. Not only is it the timing of it and the miracle of grace that has happened to blind Bartimaeus, but there's also the word of Christ to Bartimaeus that is so, so decisive in determining Bartimaeus following after Jesus. Look at what Jesus actually says in reference to Bartimaeus. There is not one word of discouragement in anything that Jesus says on this occasion. There is nothing but encouragement to Bartimaeus to come and indeed to follow him. Jesus said to him, they said to the blind man, be of good comfort, rise. He calls you. Here are people passing on the word of Jesus to blind Bartimaeus. And they are speaking to Bartimaeus words of comfort that come from Jesus. Be of good comfort, rise up. He is calling you. What are the terms in which Jesus is calling Bartimaeus to him? It is in terms of comfort and in terms of come, rise up and come to me then, Bartimaeus. And when Bartimaeus came, notice what Jesus says. What will you that I should do unto you? In other words, well, I'm here. Now I'm available. Ask me what you want. Ask me what you will. Whatever it is, just ask me for it. That is what Jesus is saying to blind Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus replies, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus, again, you see, there's no question of, are you sincere enough? Are you deeply convicted of sin enough? Do you know enough of the catechism? He simply says to him again, words of tremendous encouragement. Go thy way. Your faith has made you whole. Here he is assuring this man, you are a believer. Your faith is saving faith, Bartimaeus. I recognize and I honor you as a man of faith. There is nothing but consolation and encouragement. Now, when you and I read the scriptures, and when we read of the things that Jesus says to his people, do you find anywhere Jesus speaking discouraging words to his disciples? Why do we follow him? Because he doesn't upbraid us. He doesn't lambast us with criticisms every time we fail and fall. He doesn't come down on us like a ton of bricks the way we sometimes come down on each other when we fail them. There's always words of encouragement. There are words of rebuke that Jesus gives to his disciples, words of instruction, but never words of discouragement. And this is the point, you see. Sometimes the masters of this world, the masters of industry, sometimes they get obedience out of their employees or their subordinates because they're continually threatening them. We don't follow after Jesus because he threatens us that if we do not, we're going to go to hell. We follow after him because he encourages us with great and precious promises. Blessings galore, we might say. And that is why we follow him. Because in the presence of his word, there are continual encouragements and consolations. He is a good encourager, is Jesus. And there is no better encourager. Sometimes I wish that I could be a better encourager to you. And I'm sure we all have those moments when we wish that we could be better encouragers one to the other. Alas, we fail. Because we're flawed failures, every one of us. But Jesus is neither a failure nor flawed. And he knows how greatly we need encouragements. Just as the God of the Old Testament, how often does he say to his people things like, "Do not be afraid, you miserable worm, Jacob. Don't be afraid. You've undone yourself, but I'm still your God. For a little moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting arms of love I will gather you again. Yes, I will discipline you, but I'll never forget you." How often does God of the Bible encourage his people? Even when his face seems to be turned away, he continually reminds them, "Oh, I haven't forgotten you. Your palms, your names are written in the palms of my hands." And so it is with Jesus. And so we are converted and we begin to follow Jesus when he is passing by, in the presence of the influence and the Spirit of Jesus in our midst. We are followers of Jesus when we have our sight restored. We are followers of Jesus because his word is a word of continual encouragement to us. But the final thing this evening is this. You notice how Bartimaeus followed Jesus in the way. And what does this mean? It means this. Jesus' way became Bartimaeus's way. Jesus said to him, "Go your way." He's giving Bartimaeus the choice, and Bartimaeus chooses Jesus' way. Where Jesus goes, I will go. And what Jesus does, I will imitate and emulate the way of Jesus. That is what I was trying to say in the morning. Following after Jesus is not just believing in Jesus and going our own way. It is following Jesus in his way, in such a manner that Jesus' way becomes our way. What is Jesus' way? Well, Jesus, remember, is coming to the end of his earthly ministry. He's on his way to Jerusalem to suffer. And Bartimaeus is going to learn very quickly as he follows Jesus in the way that there is suffering involved in this. This man is going to his death. This man who has blessed me is going to die, voluntarily to die. And Bartimaeus will have to learn the meaning of the atonement. But he will have to learn that if he is going to be identified Jesus in the way, he is going to be identified with a crucified Jesus, a maligned and rejected Jesus. And that is the note, that the sooner we learn it as Christians, the better. I am not suggesting that there is only difficulty in cross-bearing. But the Bible makes it very clear there is no crown without the cross. And there is no glory without the hardship and the laboring of this present world. And in the glory, when tears are washed away, those are tears that are shed not in glory, but in this life. We weep, we are in a valley of tears. And God wipes away the tears of his people in the glory to come. So walking in the way of Jesus means inevitably sharing in the shadow of Calvary. It means voluntary submission to God in the way that Jesus was voluntarily submitting to God's will as he went to Gethsemane and then to Calvary. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's involved in walking in Jesus' way. And then there's the way that Jesus was treating people. We do not know if blind Bartimaeus or now sight-seeing Bartimaeus was one of the crowd gathered round the cross. We don't know. We're not told, but it may well be that he was there. It may be that he heard Jesus utter the very first words of the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Do we pray for our critics, those who snarl and scowl at us? Do we pray, "God bless them richly"? Or do we snarl and scowl in return? You see, these are the issues of following Jesus in the way. How did he treat people? How did he respond to God? How did he not only encourage his people, but how did he pray for his enemies? And following Jesus in the way means that blind Bartimaeus joins the people who are following Jesus. Because you see, Jesus was with his disciples and a great number of people. And Bartimaeus joined in. And we cannot follow Jesus in the way on our own. If you and I are following Jesus, it means that we identify with people who are following Jesus. We join the crowd of disciples, however few or many they are. We join them. We identify with them. There's far too much of skiving off and hiving off among Christian people. Blind Bartimaeus joined Jesus, but he also joined the people who were already following after Jesus. That's what it means to follow him in the way. I would like to have said more about that in particular, because it's a rich vein of challenging and most comforting gospel truth, because we can know whether we're going to heaven or not by the way we walk and with whom we walk in this world. Are you and I going to go to heaven? Then whose way are we following? Blind Bartimaeus is an example of the way that leads to glory, because he follows Jesus' way. And that in the end is what it's all about. So we finish off again. Here is a man who not specifically was commanded to follow Jesus, but he did so voluntarily. And in the morning we were looking at a man who was commanded to follow Jesus and he voluntarily refused to do so. And it's one or the other. It's one or the other for all of us. Always and always for us all. It's one or the other. There's no neutrality. There's no third option. May God bless his word to us.